God's True Church. St. John 2:19-21, Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. Jesus prophesied of his resurrection from the dead. He knew that the Jews desired to destroy him. They did not understand his prophetic message. They were naive and assumed that he spoke about the natural temple in Jerusalem. According to the scriptures, our bodies are the temples wherein the Holy Spirit dwells. Paul proclaimed, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body, and in your spirit, which are God's. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said, St. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus continued, St. Matthew 16:18, And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Paul also pointed out in the scriptures that those who have faith in Jesus Christ, his blood atoned for their sins. They are the true spiritual church. It is obvious that our body, soul, and spirit are holy when we have the Spirit of God. When sin enters, it defiles the human body, which is the temple of God. He has promised to destroy all sinners who do not repent. Paul wrote, 1 Corinthians 3:16-17, Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. However, he has made provisions for our salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, but some people will not accept his love. The Most High God dwells in the hearts and minds of believers in all eras, not in temples made by hands. The natural edifices made by humans are for us to worship God and Jesus Christ, pray, sing, and listen to the Word of God. These temples will not last forever. Jesus said, St. Luke 21:6, The days will come, in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another. Temples, and our physical bodies, must return to the dust. For God created Adam out of the dust. 2 Chronicles 20:17, Ye shall not need to fight in this battle, set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. These are the words, which the Spirit of God spoke to King Jehoshaphat and the inhabitants of Jerusalem through the mouth of his prophet, assuring them victory in their battle against sinners. God has promised his spiritual church victory, because the battle is not ours, but the Lord's. Jesus is leading the fight against sin, telling us to apply the Word of God against the enemies of our soul. He will utterly destroy the evil entity of the devil. Verse 17 continues, Fear not, nor be dismayed, tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Only believers who have the Holy Spirit can truly have victory in the war against the devil in the flesh of humanity. Those whom God saved from sin are his spiritual church. From the foundation of the world, there was only one church. It is God's spiritual church. Paul wrote, Ephesians 4:4-6, There is one body, and one spirit. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all. There is only one way in which humanity can receive salvation, which is by true repentance and obedience to the infallible Word of God. Genesis 3:21, Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins, and clothed them. God demonstrated his eternal provision for their salvation by initially slaying a lamb literally, and making coats of skin to cover their nakedness, which is sin. Although Adam and Eve made aprons of fig leaves to hide their sins, it was to no avail. They could not conceal their transgression from God. Therefore, we all should humble ourselves, pleading guilty as charged, and earnestly seek for forgiveness. then God's provision for salvation will become a reality because of our personal experience of Jesus Christ redeeming us. Now it is clear that the battle against sin is not ours, but the Lord's. God used the blood of lambs and other sacrificial animals until the consummation of time. Then Jesus, the Lamb of God, who entered into the holiest, offered the eternal sacrifice of his life for the salvation of our souls. He spiritually made coats of skin for our eternal redemption. The second covenant, which is his blood, is without fault in the presence of God. The death of the Son of God, whom they crucified on the cross, was for the atonement of our sins. No other sacrifice satisfied the will of God. Wherefore, the first provision of sacrificial animals was not perfect in the mind of God. It was absolutely essential that Jesus give his life for the eternal purpose of our salvation. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15:22, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." In that verse, Paul explains the natural desires of humanity, symbolized by Adam and Eve, who were the first parents of humans. They were disobedient to God, and ate the forbidden fruit. As a result, death became hereditary because of their disobedience. Nevertheless, Jesus Christ will save those of us who believe his gospel and repent. We have hope through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 47, "The first man is of the earth, earthy, the second man is the Lord from heaven." When we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have two bodies, a temporal body of the church and a spiritual body of God's church. Moreover, verse 44 states, "There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body." Furthermore, it is evident that the natural body, in which Paul spoke about, was not a building, which humans made. The temporal body of the church is God's people. The spiritual body is the Holy Spirit who dwells in the hearts of the people of God. We cannot inherit eternal life with the Adamic nature. We must pull off the old man and his sin, and allow the operation of the new man, who is the Holy Spirit, to renew us. We need not trouble our minds by trying to elaborate through efforts to determine our deliverance in any situation. The battle is the Lord's, and in due time he will conquer our adversary if we give him our battle in prayer and let him fight for us. Jesus said, St. Matthew 10:34, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth, but a sword." It is clear that Jesus' words are a proclamation of war against those who are proud in heart. The sword is a metaphor of the Word of God. The New Testament Hebrew writer proclaimed, Hebrews 4:12-13, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Jesus proclaimed, St. Matthew 10:36, "And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." In order to comprehend that scripture in its fullness, we should be broad-minded, because there is a literal and spiritual interpretation. A man's foes, who are his enemies, can be himself, and his family. The Lord must deliver us spiritually from our will, efforts, and unbelief, and of course, it is essential that we realize our first and foremost decision should be to obey the words of Jesus Christ rather than please our family and friends. Paul commanded the elders of Ephesus to watch each other, and spiritually feed God's church with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding with the Word of God. Acts 20:28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." We must make it clear that Jesus Christ redeemed and purchased the church through his blood. The elders, whom the Holy Spirit places over the souls of humanity, are ministers anointed by Jesus Christ. They are not appealing to the human minds of worldly organizations. However, they lead God's people into the way of holiness. God only appoints leaders who have His Holy Spirit to feed the souls of humanity. God said, Jeremiah 3:15, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Too often, we see ministers without the Spirit of God. They have no burden for souls. Without the Spirit of God, ministers can be treacherous instruments of death to God's flock, who are the church. Paul continues, Acts 20:29-30, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." He emphatically warned the elders that deceivers would arise from among them, perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many spiritual leaders have completed their mission on earth. Immature and sinful ministers occupy pulpits across this nation. They are perverting the true gospel of Jesus Christ. The eyes of the Lord are on false ministers. He is preparing a day of great wrath, because they have departed from the faith of Jesus Christ. Verse 31, "Therefore watch, and remember, that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every one night and day with tears. I have experienced that scripture. The Lord Jesus carried me through inexplicable sufferings. He prepared me as an instrument to warn humanity with these messages. Only the Lord Jesus Christ knows my sufferings, in which he only reveals to his saints. My love, labor, and suffering are not in vain. However, it is for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ." Let us notice further about God's church. Acts 7:38, "This is he, that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sina, and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us." In that verse, Stephen was a defense for God's church. He revealed, "This is he who is the Spirit of God that spoke to Moses in Mount Sinai when he received the word of God." In verse 39, Stephen continues, "To whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt." Stephen said those words to the high priests in a way of reproving them for their sins, affirming that they were as evil and rebellious as their fathers who were before them. Currently, many people have turned their backs on God. They are spiritually in Egypt, which is a metaphor of sin. Their hearts are in the world. They refuse to obey God's Spirit because the Lord did not choose the person they thought he should choose to minister the gospel. Verse 35, "This Moses whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge, the same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush." This is why they have lost their victory in the battle against sin. They have refused to accept the word of God sent by his anointed messenger. The Lord only uses ministers who have humbled their hearts to do his divine will, because he filled them with his Holy Spirit. The children of Israel rejected spiritual leadership. That is why they rejected Moses, and despised his authority as a spiritual leader. Hebrews 10:28-30, "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses, of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people." It is obvious that God chooses leaders, and anoints them to be spiritual leaders for his people. I have experienced the same rejection. However, the Lord spoke to me and said, "I do send you." Stephen states, Acts 7:51, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye." Humanity should take heed to their ways. When God sends a minister with a message, it is not the messenger you reject, it is the Holy Spirit of God. The Lord spoke to Samuel, who was a prophet and judge, after the people demanded a king to rule over them. 1 Samuel 8:7, "For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." Many people have sinned against God because they rejected his Spirit and his word when they refused those whom he has sent. Acts 7:49, "Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool." Verse 48, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. 2. Spiritually, build a house for God is to yield ourselves to the will of the Lord. Then can we worship God acceptably? You may have a fine edifice, but the greatest of all buildings is the temple of our bodies where the Holy Spirit dwells. That is the true church. Gad symbolizes all believers who overcome sin and its consequences. Genesis 49:19, Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Jesus said to John, Revelation 3:21, To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. Paul proclaimed the glorious coming of the Lord for his bride, who is the true church. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.